Right, our text today then is John 8 and the verse 12. Another one of the I Ams of our Lord Jesus. I am the light of the world. I think there is some significance that we could stop just at the word I am. I am, of course, is the name of Jehovah. It is that name by which God revealed himself to Moses. I am that I am. And our Lord Jesus attached to this a certain attribute, a certain aspect of his mission when he said that I am the light of the world. I want you to think what the world would be like if the sun did not shine even for one 24-hour day. What catastrophe that would bring to the whole population of the world. It would be utter chaos. Freezing temperatures. Desperation. And certainly if the sun should not shine for a longer period, there would be an ice age. The heat of the sun, the light of the sun, is absolutely vital to life here on this globe. We know how valuable light is to all plant life. Those little plants that you have on your window shelf, they all want to grow toward the light. And you need to keep turning them around to keep them balanced in the pot. Light is the life of the world. Growers in commercial production, they want to extend the light time with artificial light. And the more they can do that, the faster the production, the shorter the growing time, or at least they can manage things somewhat better. Now, this figure of speech where our Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world, spoken here in John 8 verse 12, is really that the Lord is the source of all life in this world. I want you to note the time when our Lord spoke these words. It was morning. He was in the temple. Verse 1 and 2, you'll notice early in the morning, he came again into the temple. The issue of the woman that was brought guilty with the accusations of her sin is really a distraction to the timing and the statement where the Lord took up saying, I am the light of the world. And as the sun was rising in that morning hour, shining in through the windows of the temple, the Lord made use of that scene, that welcome sunlight of the morning hour, to make this statement, I am the light of the world. Now let me be clear about any notion of universalism here. He does not say that I am the light of the Jews. He says I am the light of the world. Gentiles are included. The heathen races of the whole earth are included. However, note in verse 12 that the word world is qualified. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. There are those that teach that our Lord Jesus came into the world to save every man and bring them to heaven. To give them the same grace as true Christians enjoy. But unfortunately, the power of the Lord fails and those people end up in hell due to their own rebellion and whim and fancy and so on. But you'll notice that this statement, where our Lord said, I am the light of the world, is qualified by this statement, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So the Lord was not teaching universalism. He was not teaching that His mission was to save every man in the world. Not certainly His mission was to bring light to every people of the world and to save some, those that will follow Him. Now this world is ever divided in between children of light and children of darkness. The children of light are the followers of the Son of God. They enjoy His light. They walk in it. And this is the difference between a Christian and a lost soul. This is the difference between one on the way to heaven and the one on the broad road to a lost, dark eternity of everlasting darkness. Because true believers are followers of the one who is the light of the world. And so the Lord was saying in this statement, I am the light of the world, that His mission was to enable believers to enjoy spiritual life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's what He's saying here. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This was His mission. Now, I want to say, as a main heading today, number one, that in this mission of light, the Lord is the only life giver. He says, I am the light of the world. This is the Lord's personal claim. He states it Himself. This is not some ambiguous deduction that theologians make. This is not something that enters into the creed of a church handed down through tradition of obscure statements. This is the Son of God Himself. He who is the truth. He says, I am the light of the world. And He is the only person identified. There is no ambiguity about this. And so if we be Bible believers and followers of the gospel and followers of Christ, and that's why we are followers of Him. This is our mandate. This is the reason. This is why we set aside every other suggested religion and every other pathway to heaven and say that Jesus alone is the light. And He's the way. He is the way to the Father and the way to know the Father. In verse 18, you'll notice that the Lord says, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. The Father that sent me. Here again, it is abundantly clear. Now, just as there is only one sun in our solar system, there is only one Son of God who is the source of all spiritual life. This is true in creation. Back in John chapter 1, you'll notice John the Baptist actually uses this term, that Jesus is the light. All things were made by Him. This is John 1 verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so Christ is the light when it comes to creation. He is the creator. But then this is true of salvation, as we see here in verse 5. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And on down to verse 8, He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That's John the Baptist's ministry. John the Baptist rejected any suggestion that he was that light. He said he came to speak and to testify of the one who is the light. There's only one. And everything in this world borrows its life from the sun in the natural world. And thus every believer borrows spiritual life from the Son of God. He is the unique, God-given, heaven-sent Savior to men. There's only one covenant of grace. There's only one plan of agreement between the Father and the Son to give spiritual life to dead souls. There's only one scheme of redemption. And that's all centered in the Son of God. It is foolish to think that God would plan many ways of salvation. You've got to realize that. You've got to grasp this. And especially in this multicultural, multi-faith culture in which we live. This is something that every Christian has to hold on to with all their hearts and minds. Jesus alone is the light of the world, the only source of spiritual life. And just as all life is borrowed from the sun that shines by day, we borrow all of our spiritual life from the Son of God. And that means that there's someone here today and you are not related to the Lord Jesus by faith, by grace, by salvation. You have no spiritual life. You're not following Him. You're in darkness. You're on the road to darkness. You're lost. That's a serious matter. Your soul is without life. Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me hath the light of life. But if you are not following the Lord Jesus, if you're trusting in anything else, anyone else, then you do not have that life. That life that comes alone from the Lord Jesus. Now, secondly, I would say this. Coming from this text, this is textual-based statements now. The Lord's mission of light is to give the graces of spiritual life. And I take that from the statement, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And there are the spiritual graces of spiritual life. Now by His light, the Lord gives repentance from all sinful darkness or moral darkness. This is a very important issue. We learned last week that Christianity is not a set of rules. Christianity is not a set of do's and don'ts. You do not become a Christian because you try A, B, C, D, and they work today, therefore it makes you a Christian. Christianity is knowing the person of the Son of God. It is to be related and in union with Him. Now when Jesus, who is the light, comes into your life and into your heart, He empowers you to repent of all darkness, sinful darkness. And when that light comes into your life, when the Son of God is dwelling in you, you cannot walk in darkness. Can't do it. You can't do it in peace. You can't do it with joy. You can't do it with an easy conscience. Yes, a Christian can slip, as Peter did. But oh, what oceans of tears it brought. What repentance, what hurt, what an aching heart he had because he knew that he had grieved his Lord and he had sinned against God. Now sin, by the light of the Lord Jesus coming into the Christian's heart, sin is revealed in its ugliness. Worldliness is exposed as everything that is against the Lord Jesus. Everything that will not crown him Lord. The nightclubs, the entertainment world, the Hollywood, the music, whether it be the rap music, the rock music, the rebellious music of this age. Why does a Christian find those things wrong? Not because of do's and don'ts, but because those things will never crown the Lord Jesus as Lord. They are in rebellion to authority, in rebellion to God. The very lyrics of such music and such entertainment is to mock truth, righteousness, purity, holiness, godliness. And the person who's walking in the light, indwelt by the Lord Jesus, cannot walk comfortably at ease in that darkness. It's contrary. It's opposite. And this is why debating with someone about the nature of sin before they are converted is like leading the blind. It's impossible to make them see. It's like putting up your garage door when you're looking for something in your garage. Now our garage faces south, and in the peak hours of the day the sun shines pretty much right in. What a difference. When that door is down, there's not a window in the place, and you can only see the light coming through a few crevices around the door. But it's pretty much pitch darkness. And somehow or other, those lights by day, they're never as bright as they should be. So the best way to look for something is put up the garage door, and the sunlight comes straight in. That's what happens when you have the Lord Jesus in your life. What a difference. What an enlightenment. What a revelation. What a change in the believer's outlook. Because the light of the world is shining in. And he that followeth him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now by the Lord's light, the Lord gives to believers desires for more light. Someone comes along, puts the garage door down. Hey, what did you do that for? I need the light. Put it back up again. That's the Christian's attitude. Once you have experienced the light of the Lord in your soul, you don't want to put the door down. You don't want to shut the light out. You want more of the light of the Lord. Now that's called sanctification. That's called growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. The Proverbs put it this way, that the path of the just shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Or 2 Peter put it this way, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now he's speaking about the Scriptures. And this is the love that the believer has for God's Word. We want more light. And as we walk with our Lord and we live in His fellowship, He gives more light. More and more light. And that ought to be the experience of the child of God. Because the Lord gives desires for the more and more of His grace. By His light, the Lord conforms us to His nature. You know, light does powerful things to commodities and to people. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18, there's a great verse here by the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It's a great verse talking about the conformity, the change in the Christian's life that ought to be ongoing. It's dealing again with sanctification. It's dealing with the changing process. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. And then he explains the power of this, the operation of this, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So this is not a mystical thing. It is the work of the Holy Spirit living in the heart, revealing Jesus and changing us. Now in creation, all life is borrowed from the light of the sun. And so all of our life and all of our Christian graces, all of our godliness, all our holiness is borrowed not from rules and regulations and books and knowledge. It's borrowed from the light of the Lord and His Spirit dwelling in our hearts. Just like in a garden, you can tell by walking through a garden from which direction the sun shines. By the way the flowers turn their heads. Every boy scout knows that if you're lost in the forest, how to discover which way's north. You know, don't you? How do you discover which direction's north when you're lost in the forest? Put your arms around the tree and the side that has moss on it. That's the side that's facing north. Moss does not grow where the sunlight shines directly upon it. That's why the south side of your home doesn't get the green algae, doesn't need the pressure washing that the north side does. Sunlight changes. It cleanses. Indeed, there were times when people wanted to disinfect and purify things. They let it lie out in the sun. The sun would bleach and cleanse and purify. Because it was in the full orbed light of the sun, day after day. That's how we are changed into the image of the Lord Jesus. By following Him, by fellowship in the light. And as we, as Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. This is how you become more like the Lord. This is how you leave the world behind you and sin behind you and all its lusts and its grip upon your body and upon your mind and heart. You live in the light of Christ. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And this is the mission of the Lord. He came into the world to be the light of the world and in your soul. And so I emphasize this point that holiness is not something that you wear. You can't put on a new suit of clothes and call yourself holy. You can't dress yourself up and say, well, I'm very pious. You can't practice it. You can't rehearse it. Genuine holiness, likeness to the Lord Jesus, comes by living in His light. And my friend, if you're not living day by day in the light of the Lord Jesus, you are living like the world. And you'll go back to the world. That's the mission of the Lord Jesus, to change you by His light. And that's why Christians must take the time to have fellowship with the Lord, to pray, to read your Bible, to worship Him, to walk with Him, to meditate on the Lord and His glory and His grace. If you're living on the fast lane of this world, darkness will encroach upon you. That's the great need in every life. And that's why we encourage people to come to the worship services of the church. That's why we have prayer meetings, various prayer meetings. And we plead with you to come. Not just that we can boast of bigger numbers, but for your soul's sake, for your growth, for your walking in the light. This is important. And this is the mission that the Lord has for you. Now, a third thing that comes out of this verse, John 8, verse 12, is that the Lord's mission of light is to call a people to walk in the light. The Lord calls, and believers are to follow Him. This is the Lord's church separating from the darkness of the world to let their light shine before men. Believers are to be known as children of light and not of the day. That now becomes our witness, our testimony before the world. I'm moving now beyond the personal fellowship with the Lord to the witness we have in the world around us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:5, the testimony of those new converts in Thessalonica was, "Ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." That cannot be said about you. Would your neighbor say that about you? Would that be said about this church? Would it be said about this witness of the gospel? Ye are all children of light. No interest in darkness. Delivered from darkness. And truly walking in the light. The Lord Jesus, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, pleaded that we should let our light shine before men. Not hide it under a bushel, but let our light shine before men. And this now becomes our mission. The mission of the Lord Jesus, where He came into the world to be the light of the world, and that light has come into our hearts, we have become children of light. This now becomes our mission. Because there is around us many in darkness who know nothing of the grace and the love and the light of the Lord Jesus. And we are to let our light shine before men. And just as the Son obeyed the Father, when the Father sent the Son into the world, and He obeyed the Father, and He came to reveal the Father to men, we are now to obey the Lord. When He says, "Do not hide your light under a bushel, but let your light shine before men." That's our mission. How are we going to do that? First of all, we need to be enjoying the light ourselves. The more of the light of the Lord in our souls, the more it will reflect unto others. When the church is enjoying the fullness of the light of the Savior, then there shall be power to witness before the world. I came upon a little story, it's really an allegory of a cave, speaking with the sun. And The sun said to the cave, you're dwelling in darkness. And the cave said to the sun, you're dwelling in light. And so the sun says, will you come out of your cave and enjoy my light? And the cave came out of its dark, dismal abode and entered into the presence of the sunshine and enjoyed its light. And then the cave wanted to reciprocate and said, now, son, I want you to come and enter into the darkness of my cave. And so the son came into the cave. But there was no darkness. Why? Because the light of the sun was there. That ought to be the witness of every Christian. And while those around us live in darkness, and they may testify of our light, and they may invite us to enter into their darkness. But wherever we go, we shine a light. The light of Christ, the light of the gospel. And of course, we do this by following the Lord and letting our light shine before men. Now, the worst thing that can happen to people is that they fall into darkness. The Lord said, if the light in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? That's something we can never afford to happen. We can never afford to let that happen. We need that full orbed light of the Lord. And so we make this the Lord's mission, our mission, to enjoy His light and let it shine before men. That's the work of this church. That's the work of this ministry. And we need each other. We need you to bring in those that sit in darkness to hear the gospel. We need you to pray that God will cause the light to shine into the hearts of men. There are gaps to fill, empty seats to fill, a work to be done. And knowing that Jesus is the light, He calls us to be His follower. He that followeth me. We cannot sit neutral. We cannot sit an observer. Jesus said, he that followeth me. So you are to be a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus. And this torch of the gospel is being passed on to you. And we have each a responsibility to shine in a darkened world that is lost and cannot find its way. Maybe there's one here today and you are lost. You need the light of Christ in your life. You've been trying perhaps by some rules and regulations to find the way to heaven. Can't be done. You must invite the Lord to come into your life. And then the darkness is dispelled. And you walk in His light.